Tune in for an exclusive and permanent deal just for you. Get ready to immerse yourself in nature with an ongoing offer of 20% off all Strawberry Cough feminized cannabis seeds, exclusively designed for our valued podcast listeners. When you head over to homegrowncannabisco.com and use code COUGH20 at checkout, that's COUGH20. It's time to embrace the power of nature and embark on a growing experience like no other. Hello, fellow cannabis enthusiasts, and welcome back to another thrilling episode of Grow Weed at Home with Kyle Cushman. Today's episode is packed with incredible content that will stimulate both your mind and your grow. We'll dive deep into the captivating world of cannabis culture, exploring its rich history and how it has shaped our society. But that's not all, folks. Ever wondered how you can become a certified ganjier? Well, tonight is your lucky night. Derek will be enlightening us about the steps and requirements to obtain this prestigious certification as we strive to elevate our knowledge and skills in the cultivation and appreciation of this magical plant. So, sit back, grab your favorite cultivar, and prepare for an unforgettable evening of cannabis wisdom. Stay tuned as we embark on this exciting journey with Derek Gilman, exploring the wonders and benefits of cannabis culture and the path to becoming a certified ganjier. So, hey there, Derek Gilman. Welcome to GWA.
How you doing, Kyle? Long time no see, man.
I'm great. It has been a little while since we've actually seen each other. We talk pretty infrequently. It's been a few months, but how are you, man? You look fabulous.
I'm doing great. I'm doing great, man. I'm up here in Southern Humboldt now, in the Salmon Creek area, the Ganjier campus.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
So I moved up here about 2 years ago, and it's a whole lifestyle change, let me tell you.
It's nice being close to work, in your sense, like tenfold, right? It's like, yeah, man, I tell you, it's been a little while since we've spoken in a professional sense. And I just want to point out that, we've done a whole bunch of really good videos together for Green Flower. Some of my favorite pieces that we've done together. And so I'm hoping to return the favor and do a really good piece of video for you.
Well, thanks so much, Kyle. I know it's kind of a turn of events here, isn't it?
It
this
is.
Time I am the host and now I'm the guest.
I'm really excited.
I'm so excited for the opportunity. Thanks for having me. Seriously, man.
Thanks, man. Well, you know, so, Our GWA is our. I love the what would we call that? Calling it GWA. That's a.
It's not an acronym. An abbreviation.
An abbreviation for our Grow Weed at Home show, my new podcast. This is actually episode 11. 11's my lucky number.
And sweet.
Well,
congrats on the podcast. I've been following along. You've gotten some great.
Yeah, so we have quite a history. We've known each other for a while. Yeah, we have quite a history, you and I. We've known each other for a while now. And you started back when we first met, you were developing Green Flower Media. And that has really grown into a national national thing, and I wanted to talk a little bit about Green Flower Media because I actually I'm a small little part of that, and I still get thank yous on the streets for being part of that program. So you guys are really getting it out there, and. The main thing is the whole association with college campuses. Tell me about that.
So Green Flower has a higher ed division for the last maybe 3 or 4 years now. And as of today, we are in 50 colleges and universities nationwide, including such prestigious names as Syracuse, the University of California system. We're in lots of big name schools. People are loving the education. I think you may even be in some of that cultivation education as well in some of those schools.
I believe my cloning course has been proliferated. That's great. To me, that's like there are young people all over the country waking up on a Sunday morning like this and opening up a pamphlet of a course selection for college of what they'd like to take the coming year in college. And there you are with courses on what kind of courses can they take?
As far as the higher ed courses are concerned, there is a cultivation course. There is a, I believe there's a business course. And then what's the third one? to be absolutely honest with you, Kyle, the higher ed division is a separate division of Greenflower than Gangier. And for the last 4 years, I have just been blinders on, heads down in the development of Gangier, the launching of Gangier, the administration of Gangier, acquiring this campus, just 2 short years ago. And it's just, it's taken over my life in all aspects of it. And so I don't have enough time to really kind of keep track of what the other divisions of Greenflower are doing.
Hey, I get that, and of course I'm really excited to get into the whole Gangier discussion as well. But I couldn't help point out that thanks to you guys, young people have choices in colleges across our wonderful nation to get stimulated about the uses and potential business aspects of cannabis. I just think it's a wonderful thing.
People are either looking to legitimize an existing knowledge and skill set through getting a certification through one of these higher ed, through one of these colleges or universities. And they're looking sometimes just to get their foot into the industry, perhaps transition their existing skill set in a different industry into cannabis. And so those courses are just a great opportunity for people to do that. We've been seeing lots of success from the students coming out of those programs, which is why, it seems like Greenflower is signing a new school or at least two every month.
That's just absolutely fantastic. You know, most of the viewers who are going to be watching us right now have a certain a viewpoint. And that is, you know, they're a lot like us. You know, we grew up reading High Times, and we grew up having to score weed on the street, and we grew up having to know how to talk with our dealer and all these things. But the rest of the world doesn't look at cannabis through any type of an experienced lens. And to many, I dare say, it's just another widget. In the sense that I may be looking for a life change or a business change or and it's not necessarily cultural from the get-go for them. And it's not, it may become, right? That's the great thing about cannabis is you get into it incidentally, for a little bit of wrist pain or something. And the next thing you know, your whole life aspect has changed around you, right?
Cannabis touches people on an exceptionally personal level. We have to keep in mind that when you consume cannabis, whether it's smoking it or an edible or a tincture or even a topical, that those cannabinoids ultimately bind with your nerve receptors. In short, you become one with the cannabis and the cannabis becomes one with you. And it's just, it's the reality of it. And it affects each of us differently. But it affects many people in such profoundly personal ways, whether it's, helping with anxiety or pain relief or helping with their relationships. It's just a beautiful catalyst. And as it becomes more legal, the world is waking up, to the wonders of cannabis.
Yes, it's just such a great substitute for so many terrible man-made and synthetic drugs and chemicals that people use.
And so with so many new consumers, coming into the industry, perhaps trying cannabis for the first time or maybe being reintroduced to it, after a multi-decade layoff from when they were a kid, there's a genuine need for trusted and reliable guides. People who haven't, who've done more than just smoke for a couple of decades, but people who understand the science of cannabis, the botany of cannabis, the history of cannabis, as you touched on, and the legacy. And that's what we're doing through Gangier, is we're training trusted and reliable guides for the cannabis industry.
That is a perfect place to start. I mean, for those of you who have never heard, I would find it very rare to think, again, that a lot of our viewers haven't heard of Gangier. It's a very passed around buzzword. It was a great terminology to come up with, by the way. It really brings everything to mind when I say it. And let's do a little bit of a deep dive into this and start like at the beginning about intent. You know, you've already kind of, to me, we've already kind of cracked the shell of it, but I'm going to ask you directly. So what was the main purpose behind developing the Gangier program?
So I got hired on by Greenflower in 2017 to produce cultivation-based content. And through that, exactly, you know, and through that process, I had the opportunity to work with people like you, to work with people like Swami Chaitanya and Kevin Jodry and Mean Gene, Casey O'Neill, and a long list of others. And it gave me an opportunity to start coming up to what I consider to be cannabis Mecca, which is the Emerald Triangle. And through multiple visits coming up here, filming content, I really began to get a genuinely deep respect and appreciation for the people that are here, for the history and legacy of this area, the genetics coming out of here, and most importantly, just the unbelievably tasty herb coming out of this area. And then I would go and I'd take the 10-hour drive back south to Ojai, back to Southern California, and I would see this disconnect time and time again. Anytime I walked into a dispensary, I'd see this disconnect where cannabis is being pushed based off its potency, based off its THC content, all right, which comes to us from a fraction of a gram that gets tested by a lab. And cannabis is so much more than that. Cannabis is so much more than just potency. Anybody who's consumed it realizes that it interacts with our senses. It appeals to us on sight alone. Then we get it into our nose and the aroma speaks to us. Ultimately, we smoke it and we get to taste it and it changes how we feel, right? Cannabis is so much more than just its potency, right? The Emerald Cup has been judging, you know, good cannabis up here for the last 20 plus years. They've lab tested that cannabis. Rarely does the top 10 ever exceed 18% in THC levels. So ultimately, it's those other qualities of cannabis that people are finding appealing, all right? And so, you know, every other Epicurean or gustatory industry, from wine to coffee to cigars, cheese, chocolate, beer, each of these industries has trained professionals, okay, that discern quality based off its desirability. And its desirability is based off the aroma, the flavor, that experience. And so in developing Gangier, it was looking to bring that level of professionalism and guidance to cannabis.
You know, you started off that explanation by mentioning how you drove a few hours, a few hundred miles from the Mecca to another beautiful place in California that smokes a lot of cannabis and grows a lot of cannabis, and that there was a disconnect. And I know exactly what you're referring to in a multi-level way, not in a disrespectful way. And so much of that has to do with intent. The cannabis itself, why it was grown, who it was grown by, what was going through that person's head every single day as they grew that cannabis, right?
What they were growing, how they were growing it, where they were growing it.
Right.
Each of those things impacts that end quality.
And so what I'm getting to is that this wonderfully pioneering idea, which is honestly what I think of the Ganjier program as, it's, if anything, it's ahead of its time. It couldn't be done anywhere else. You could not, with holding your head high, teach this course, hold this course anywhere else. You know, maybe down the line, I'm sure you're gonna actually have it somewhere else. But the whole idea that it starts here in the Emerald Triangle, where the cannabis culture in America truly comes from, the heart and soul of it. And yeah, for those of you who haven't visited Northern California and, you know, we all know about the redwoods, the giant redwoods. And I mean, you can just look behind Derek there and see the scenery that, you know, it could be a lot of places. You could be in Tennessee, you could be in upstate New York and see that background, but you wouldn't have the legacy or the terroir that has made the cannabis industry so interesting and so lovely and wonderful. And why we're here talking about it.
This program was born out of the Emerald Triangle. Many of the Ganjier Council members live here in the Emerald Triangle or have worked here over the years. The name Ganjier, okay, comes from Kevin Jodry's son, Nakona. You know, Kev asked his son one day, he's just like, you know, I'm having this identity crisis. You know, what am I? You know, I mean, I've been in this business all these years, but you know, what am I? And Nakona looked at Kev and he just said, well, Dad, you're a Ganjier. You're a cannabis culturalist. And he was just like, yeah. And so in developing the program, yeah, Kev had the perfect name. And when Max Simon and I, a Greenflower, approached him with the idea of what we wanted to build, this cannabis sommelier program, and that we thought Ganjier was the perfect name, Kev agreed and understood our mission. And it was actually a mission that he had in mind when he began building the Ganjier brand many moons ago.
That's beautiful. You know, I got a little bit of a chill and up my spine, and I'm going to take a bong hit, a ceremonial bong hit for that, man. Yeah. The people that you have in the program, from Kevin Jodry and Nikki and Swami and help me out here, Amanda Ryman and Dr. Amanda Ryman.
Well, once we decided to build this, yeah, doctor. Thank you, Dr. Amanda Ryman. when we made the decision that we were going to move forward with the development of this program, I realized that that the program was going to require more knowledge and expertise than any one person has. There's lots of deeply experienced cannabis experts, right? There's nobody who knows everything in cannabis, all right? So that's what makes our program, you know, different than anything else that's out there, is we established this Ganjier Council, as we call it, 18 deeply respected, deeply experienced cannabis pioneers, cannabis experts. So we've got Swami Chaitanya along with Nikki Listretto. We've got Frenchie Cannoli along with Madame Cannoli. We've got Dr. Jeffrey Raber. We've got Dr. Amanda Ryman. We had the two fellas out of SC Labs, Josh Werzer and Alec Dixon, as part of the curriculum. We have Kev Jodry, obviously, and Aaron Varney is the owner of four dispensaries in the Seattle area called Dockside. He's been in business for the last 20 plus years with the same partners. Who else do we got? Janine Coleman of the Origins Council. That's the group that's establishing cannabis appellations, okay? The first ever cannabis appellations on the planet are being established here in the Emerald Triangle by the Origins Council. We've got Janine and Justin Calvino, who was part of the Origins Council when they first launched it as well. So we've got our terroir experts. We've got our scientists. We've got Mel Frank, who's our botany expert. We've got Kevin Jodry is our genetic expert. Frenchie Cannoli, who knows more about trichomes than anybody on the planet.
Yeah, man, these are incredible people. And so, you know, I just want to say for you people out there that are lacking an appreciation for the program, I mean, I hope you're getting some sense of the cultural history behind the makeup of this program. Not the least of which yourself, Derek. You know, you've got decades of experience in growing, and I'm sure you know, as being an advocate as well. You know, you got the hair to go with it. I'm sure you've been been trodden on just as all the rest of us. You know,
I forgot a couple. And you know, we also have Nicotee.
Nicotee.
Okay.
Nick Tannen.
In the term solventless. Okay. We've got Wendy Kornberg, second generation cultivator here in the Emerald Triangle. KNF expert. So we've got a deep lineup on the Ganjier Council. Everyone on the Ganjier Council is an instructor in the course. So we have 10 courses online that cover topics such as history, botany, science, cultivation, genetics, processing, assessment, the business of cannabis, connoisseurship of cannabis, one of my favorite subjects.
Absolutely. I totally see this as a cultural lesson and as a way of preserving the culture so that we don't end up in a future where cannabis is a clear, odorless, you know, liquid. Okay, so maybe there'll be some added terpenes. But see, that's what I want to get away from. I mean, I don't want to disparage anybody's individual choice for how to consume. I just don't want to see us old hippie style go away and, you know, have a society where smoking a joint is taboo.
That culture, that legacy is paramount. Okay. And to bring it back to, you know, to your point earlier, that's specifically why we hold our 2-day live training here in Salmon Creek, in Southern Humboldt, in the heart of the Emerald Triangle. Salmon Creek, this area that I'm in here, this little neighborhood, had the highest concentration of illegal cannabis farms than anywhere else in the Triangle. Okay, when camp was rolling through back in the 80s, you know, to come bust people, this was one of their first stops every time.
You know, I got another chill as you were saying that, and I thought to myself, you know, I guarantee that out of all the people that come and experience this, there's a few tears shed. And the tears are tears of joy. Because you get overwhelmed. It's almost like your first trip to Amsterdam. My first trip to Amsterdam, and I felt I'm smoking a joint for the first time in my life that can't get me arrested. And I shed a tear. And it's just, you know, it's hard to put it all into words, the whole experience of both the full circle that we've come, you and I, from being completely illegal to almost completely legal. And just to give people an example, like as you were saying, everybody look at that valley behind you, that mountain range behind you. And on the other side of that mountain is a valley. You got a mountain and then you got a valley. And a typical valley canyon out in the wilds of California like that is said to produce upwards of 1 million pounds of marijuana. A large, like one large valley that they have a name for, whether it's the Redwood Valley, whether it's Spy Rock, whether it's the one you named, 1 million pounds can come out of every one of them every year.
At one point, there was probably a lot, there was a lot of weight coming out of here. Less so now. Unfortunately,
it's been decimated.
Small craft cultivator is a dying breed. It's, you know, there's an extinction event going on. And specifically, another one of the reasons why we bring people here is to give them the opportunity to experience those craft farms firsthand. Because like you said, you could talk about it, you could show people, but until you've been here, there's an energy to this area that's just unmistakable. And to a person, everyone that comes feels it. And we got people coming from all over the planet, from Europe, from Southeast Asia, from Australia, New Zealand, South America. And they're coming here. And some people are coming here from places that are less than, you know, friendly to cannabis. And and some of them, for the very first time in their life, they're getting to share cannabis with like-minded, enthusiastic connoisseurs in a place without restrictions, without distraction. It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, there's a stillness. It's like the difference between like an acid trip in the middle of the city, or an acid trip with a journeyman who's holding your hand and taking you to all these wonderful places, because it's there's not, it's unreplicatable. And I will say that it was probably just a little bit more beautiful before the home cannabis industry got decimated, unfortunately. Some of the unintended consequences of legalization. Only in the sense that it just creates a little more strife and stress of the general population. And
I think we're getting to your mission.
It's really important for me to do a show about you guys, because whatever weight I bring to the discussion, I think it's important to point out that this program is in no way trotting on or disrespecting anybody. It's the exact opposite. Not everybody can be a part of the program, and not every farm can partake in it. We can't do that for everybody. But what you can do is you can continue to educate people on the legacy.
Are you ready to take your cannabis cultivation game to the next level? Well, hold on to your buds, because we have an amazing offer just for you. Are you familiar with Strawberry Cough? This legendary strain has delighted cannabis enthusiasts worldwide with its mouthwatering flavor and uplifting effects. Lineage? Sure, let's dive into it. Strawberry Cough is a delicious cross between Strawberry Fields and Haze. Its distinct strawberry aroma and sweet taste make it a favorite among connoisseurs. Now, here's the exciting news. We're offering a fantastic deal on Strawberry Cough feminized cannabis seeds. You'll receive 20% off your purchase on any pack size of these seeds when you use code COUGH20. That's COUGH20. That's COUGH20 at homegrowncannabisco.com. Don't miss out on this incredible opportunity to grow your own Strawberry Cough. Whether you're a seasoned cultivator or a newbie looking to explore the world of marijuana horticulture, these feminized seeds will set you on the path to aromatic success. Visit homegrowncannabisco.com today and select from their wide range of premium cannabis seeds, and maybe take advantage of 20% off your Strawberry Cough seeds when using code COUGH20. Happy growing, folks! Get ready to savor the tantalizing flavors and uplifting effects of Strawberry Cough, a strain that deserves a spot in every cannabis enthusiast's garden. Check out homegrowncannabisco.com now and seize this offer before it's gone.
It's about bringing exposure to not just any one farm, but to the craft small batch farms, okay, that are producing cannabis with love, with wonderful genetics, in a beautiful area where cannabis really responds well, and they know how to finish it right, and that end product is incomparable, okay? And so if we can bring awareness to those qualities that make cannabis desirable, it helps everybody. Everybody, but the big producers producing crap. Doesn't help them.
No, I like bringing the spotlight on people like Nikki and Swami, who some people like to make fun of because they are so specific and deliberate in their intentions. And I think that that's the most important thing of all in life. Maybe you don't have to live like that 100% of the time, and you don't have to be a Swami, but you don't have to make fun of it either. And
it's easy to pick on somebody, you know, that asks them when it's time to harvest. Okay, that's easy to pick on. But if you don't respect cannabis as a living being, and a sentient living being, its own thing, that's what it is. It's a life form. Let's be clear. Yeah, many people get a little nug in a jar and they smoke it and burn it. That thing, it started as a life form. All right? And when Swami's working with it, that's what he's working with. You know, anybody who spent as many years as he has, you know, learning about the nature of life in the universe, I'm not going to question him when he starts talking to plants.
No, the plant is very intentional as well. And that's why for all you people, cannabis use is wonderful. And very, very rarely is it a negative thing in the scope. But for all you people out there who have no idea about this crunchy hippy dippy stuff we're talking about and think that, hey, I get really high when I buy this eighth from mega nursery dispensary in, you know, this big city and stuff. But man, it's the difference truly is like a McDonald's hamburger to, you know, something you cook at home that only, you know,
you need to. Or something you've grown at home. Because while not everybody has had the opportunity to taste some small batch, you know, cannabis grown organically with love, most people, I believe, have either themselves have some type of fruit or veggie garden or a fruit tree or a friend or a family member or neighbor where they've had the opportunity to taste a tomato that was grown off a vine in someone's backyard, and it's night and day. And the same is true with cannabis. Okay, in just as profound a way.
So all of this, all of what you're doing, all of what I'm doing, all we're doing is promoting the positivity of cannabis, whether you want to grow it, whether you want to promote it, whether you want to make a business that revolves around it. Those are all positive aspects that you could be doing for humanity.
Anyone looking to elevate their enjoyment with cannabis just needs to look to find ways to deepen their relationship with cannabis. And that could be done a million different ways, from growing your own at home. That's the best way to get a relationship with a plant, okay? To how you smoke it, just being more mindful about what you're consuming and how you're choosing to consume it, is a way to begin that journey towards deepening that relationship. Growing a plant or multiple plants, that's when the light bulb goes off. That's the moment when you realize that you are dealing with a living creature. A living creature that, again, you're ultimately going to bind with on the most intimate of levels.
Yes. I'm with you, my brother. This is a great discussion. You know, so before I get on to maybe the prologue, go just a little bit real deep into how the program and, you know, deepens just on the set you were saying about the appreciation, the connoisseurship, you know, what types of things do people overlook when they're trying to truly appreciate cannabis, but they're not?
The deep history that cannabis has a history that goes back thousands of years. And I'm talking about man's history with cannabis. You know, so our very first course, you know, in our online curriculum, which is 30 hours plus, okay, in total, our very first course is the history of cannabis and cannabis consumption. And that begins with Frenchy Cannoli talking about the origins of cannabis in the middle of Asia, in these high plains outside of Mongolia. He goes through how it went through the Silk Road and how it made its way across into Europe. We got another course in history with Swami, okay? And Swami spends an hour plus discussing how cannabis has been consumed over the millennia, from, you know, people going into tents and burning a little mound in a tent and just inhaling the fumes, okay, to the oldest known smoking device, which is a chillum, all right? This straight clay tube you know, that comes out of India. Getting an appreciation for the qualities that make cannabis desirable. Yeah, we like to smoke. Yeah, we like to look. Oh, it smells really good. Have you ever spent time when you're smelling it trying to determine how complex that aroma is? Is it just lemon and woo, that's lemon, man? Or is it lemon with some fuel and maybe some crushed pine needles in there on the underneath? And woo, I can tell you, because if you smoke that lemon for 10 days straight, you're going to get bored. But you smoke that lemon with the gas and the pine in there, you're going to keep coming back to that one. The reason why OG's been popular for the last 20 plus years. Okay?
Mm-hmm. It's very deep.
You know, connoisseurship, you know, simply put, is about being mindful about what you're consuming and how you're consuming it. And what you're consuming begins with the genetics. And then it's, well, how was it cultivated? Where was it cultivated? Am I going to smoke flower? Or am I going to smoke some traditional hashish? Okay? Those are all the things about being mindful about what you're smoking. Who cultivated it? Okay? And then how you consume it. The tools, the techniques, the methods. You smoking with a pipe? Or you smoking with a bong? I'm a joint smoker for the most part. I know you enjoy water pipes.
Yeah, man, who wouldn't want to take this course, you know? It really is quite intense, and from what I've heard and discussions I've had with some of the instructors, some of the illustrious instructors, and
our business course, we teach students the best way to measure the success of a sale isn't the overall dollar amount. That's not how you measure the success of a sale. You measure the success of a sale by how happy and satisfied the customer was. Because the happy and satisfied customer is coming back, and that's good business. And we apply the same philosophy in Gangier. You know, how good is the program? I base that on the comments coming out of the students and the graduates of the program. And in our 3 short years of doing this, I got 80 pages of testimonials from students. You can go to our website and you'll see just one testimonial after the next.
I think it's wonderful. I think we're going to have to wait until next spring, probably until I come visit you, because I'm not coming up there in the wintertime.
It is beautiful. Hey, I'm out here in flip-flops right now. It's got to be about 70 degrees. Okay, the mushrooms are coming up everywhere.
You know, our first atmospheric river is coming this weekend, though, or next this week. You know, we don't get rain in California anymore. See, we don't get rain pretty much at all. It only rains like 3 months a year in California. But now we don't get rain. We get atmospheric rivers, and they count them by whether half dozen and dozen. You remember
winter you guys got that. I was down there for the 15 years prior, and water wasn't falling from the sky for about 15 years. Okay.
Nope. But you saw what happened in Tahoe last winter, right? With the snow past the roofs of the houses and all that. Did they not have snow in this part of Northern California last winter?
I did. You know, so I'm at 1,000 feet right here, which isn't that high.
About 1,500 is kind of the level, right?
The typical snow level is around 2 or so, but last winter, snow right here, right behind me on this lawn.
And that's all fine and well when you have heat in your house. But a lot of people, you know, you live in California, people don't even really have heat. You got to start fires.
Well, hey, I want to show you something before we go. If you look over my shoulder here, can you see that little rascal down there?
Yeah.
Let's go have a closer look.
All right,
I have a Colombian Punta Rojo.
Oh, wow.
Still in ground, still flowering away down here. And while I haven't de-leafed it in a couple of weeks, I still want to show her off.
Dedication. This is November, and he's still got a plant in the ground.
Look at those stigmas. They're still stacking.
Oh, I wish I had the resolution. We will on the download, but man, that is a huge, that I dare say is a 3-pound, 4-pound plant.
Oh, yeah, look at that. I mean, just for scale, I mean, yeah, it's taller than I am. It's,
what
that's
a
about
gorgeous
6 feet,
sativa,
6 feet
lovely. So we're not allowed to call things sativa and indica anymore. So what would
you're allowed to call it whatever you like, but if you want to be more accurate, I would call this an equatorial.
An equatorial, thank you. That's a beautiful one. That is going to provide some wonderful daytime smoke, is it not?
That's what I'm counting on. If I can bring her in, I still haven't landed this one on the boat yet. I got to get through that next atmospheric river that you're warning me about.
Yeah, man, it's going to be hitting you guys. So as you were coming back up the hill there, and I mentioned to you, we're not allowed to call things indica and sativa anymore. Of course, it's going to be decades before nobody's calling it that anymore. But so equatorial and what's the opposite of equatorial?
Mountainous.
So mountainous and equatorial. Varieties. And so can you give us a little bit more about that definition and why indica and sativa is a misnomer?
Sure. A botanist back in the day, and I don't have his name at the tip of my tongue, but a botanist back in the day had discovered cannabis in India and giving it a Latin, you know, scientific term, called it cannabis indica because it had came from India, right? But meanwhile, it was those plants that he first discovered were a narrow leaf variety. Okay, they were more equatorial than they were mountainous. They didn't have those big fat leaves, and you know, so that's where some of the confusion begins, was there. And then just over time, people just kept, you know, using the same words, misusing words, and then over time, there's been a tremendous amount of hybridization. Okay, so where once you had a very distinct delineation between the equatorials versus the mountainous varieties, over time these genetics started mixing and we started getting the hybrids. And these hybrids can sometimes exhibit physical, you know, like appearance-wise, it looks more like a mountainous variety, but effects-wise, it's more of that equatorial variety. Okay, and so people start saying, oh, well, look at that thing, it's an indica. And so people start getting confused about the expectations of the experience as well. You know, so when somebody comes to me and says, you know, hey, I'm looking for some herb, I really like sativas, my first question to them is, well, what is it about sativa that you like? I'm not going to look to say, oh, Dad, you're using the wrong word, this or that, because I don't need to do that. Just tell me what it is you like about sativa. And if they tell me, oh, well, hey, you know, I like being cerebrally stimulated. I like to be, you know, creatively stimulated. I like to be conversational. Well, great. I understand. Now I know which direction you're going for.
Right. And it's still so individualistic, isn't it? It's one, you can give 10 people the same weed and half of them can swear that it was an indica and half of them would swear that it was more sativa. And
it's no different than, you know, people with like ADHD, you know, can take Ritalin and that calms them down. But people who don't have ADHD take it and makes them all excited, right?
It's very personal preference.
Everybody has different body chemistries.
If you're gonna grow at home, you will want to have some sense of what type of weed you prefer, and so then you have some type of weed. So then you have some type of sense of what kind of weed you want to grow. And I was wondering if you just had a couple of general tips for people on how to choose what type of weed they should grow at home.
So
I got hard questions for you.
Yeah, no, it's okay. That's one not too tough. To get the best cannabis, it's really a convergence of three factors. And I learned this from Kev. I got to give him credit for this. It's the genetics, it's the cultivation methodology, and the location. And these three things got to come together. Okay? The right genetics with the right cultivation methodology in the right location. Okay, so for example, I'm trying to pull off this Colombian here in Southern Humboldt.
And you're going to do
not
it.
Exactly the proper genetics for this location.
Right.
If I'm able to pull it off and get it to, you know, to be fully ripe before I harvest it, it's going to be lucky. All right, because we got some storms coming in next week, as you just said, and they could very likely wipe that thing out. All right, so it's really the wrong genetics for this location. The other five plants I had down here were the right genetics. I harvested those, you know, first week of October.
You're already smoking. So,
yeah. So it's about, you know, choosing the genetics that are going to work well with your cultivation methodology and ultimately where you're going to be growing. So again, the equatorials, you know, they evolved in these really moist conditions. So equatorials tend to have this more open structure, and that open structure, you know, keeps that moisture from molding the flower. If those equatorials had a denser structure, you know, like say you take a mountainous variety and take it to an equatorial area, all right, and you get these thick buds, inevitably they're going to rot. Too much moisture gets retained in those flowers.
You know what you had me think of too is that it's another positive reason for autoflowers is, you know, you may not be able to grow that Punta Roja sativa out in your tent, but if you've got an autoflower version of it, well, then you just might be able to pull it off. I never thought of that before. And it's another way of distributing more choices and more different varieties of medicine to more types of people in different areas.
I would suggest that autoflowers may be best suited for newer cultivators,
mm-hmm.
those that are less savvy about light cycles.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly.
That's exactly where I was going with that.
You know, autoflowers generally aren't my favorite just because of some of the genetics that are in there that makes them autoflower weren't necessarily the best genetics to begin with. Though I know there's been lots of breeding going on and they probably bred out a lot of the undesirable qualities over time. But yeah.
They are much better than they had been. I get a lot of email with pictures of people growing out their autoflowers that they get from Homegrown. And
first-time cultivator, it's a really nice, easy way to again establish and begin building that relationship with the plant. There's just going to be a lot less worry, a lot less care involved with an autoflower, you know. So there's certainly some benefits to it. You know, as someone gets experienced, I would suggest they begin trying some regular seeds. You know, going through the sexing, you know, getting males and females. With males and females, you know, one from the other, you can either eliminate your males and have some sensimia, or maybe you just keep those males segregated somewhere and start making your own seeds at some point.
I have always said every grower at one point should grow a seed cycle from beginning. If you've never grown a seed cycle, then you're really just missing out a little bit more of that relationship. And getting to choose your own personal favorite cultivar, potentially.
I took a breeding class with DJ Short back around 2008. And he had mentioned that through his life, and he's an experienced guy, DJ Short, you know, is the breeder of Flo and Blueberry, that the best herb he had ever smoked always was seeded. And so he had this theory that the plant, you know, the plant's goal in life is to reproduce. And he had this theory that if the plant didn't have that opportunity to reproduce, it didn't reach its maximum potential. And so he suggested, and this is a practice I've been doing ever since, he suggested you don't have to pollinate the whole plant to get the benefit. You could just pollinate a single branch, and that signals the plant that it's you know, it's satisfied its mission. It's going to reproduce. It's making seeds and allows it to truly, you know, maximize its fullest potential.
Certainly. I agree 100% that pollinated weed is definitely more potent. I don't know the whole science behind that, but it just brings it up another a weird cultivation technique. Have you ever heard of people who they won't pollinate at all, but what they do is they keep a male in the flowering room, and because they're sentient, and they're not quite as stimulated as if they were actually pollinated, but they believe they're about to be pollinated because the male is in the room. And what they do is every week they put a younger male in there that's just getting ready to pollinate, so that it never pollinates. And it almost causes the same effect of the girls actually being pollinated.
I've heard some people theorize that, you know, with a room full of female plants exclusively, that those plants realize that they're in an area that has exclusively, you know, that there's no males around. And so that's when they will, you know, nature finds a way, like from Jurassic Park,
right?
You know, and that's when you get a female plant growing that one male flower because it needs to find a way, and there's no other way than to do that.
And I think they're all trying. They're all trying to be the one that pops out the one, because it doesn't happen all the time. So they must all be trying really hard. They're like, man, one of us is going to do this. One of us is going to do this. And it's so when you take away that, because now they know that there is a male there, they're all just Jimmy jamming, just a little bit happier.
Yeah, I think that's the theory. Again, you know, there's much that we could speculate on and theorize now at this point. But ultimately, just never, never forget that we're talking about a living being. Okay? A living, and as humans, we don't understand enough about the nature of life to begin making, you know, strong assumptions about, you know, plant life. And so it would only make sense that the plants would be happier. If the plant is naturally wants to produce both males and females, it seems it would naturally be, I don't know, in a better place with both of those genders around.
I believe there's something empathic about the cannabis plant. It's special, in various ways. Obviously, I'm biased, and so are you.
Well, Swami, you know, we mentioned Swami asking the plants when it's time to harvest. Swami believes that the plant knows ultimately who it's going to help. Where it's going to land and who it's going to help. So when he asks the plant, are you ready to harvest? That the plant is answering based on where it's going to end up and who it's going to help.
I'm all about intention. I think the reasons why we do something is ultimately way more important than the thing itself. And the reason why I did this interview with you is because I think that you're cool as shit. And I love the Ganja program. And I hope you guys spread farther around the world.
Thanks, Kyle. It was excellent catching up with you. You better get yourself up here to the Ganja campus soon. All right? You would love it.
I know it. We're going to make some time. We're going to talk again soon and find a good time for me to get up there. Maybe sometime when I can just take part in a graduation ceremony or something.
Or come up for some of our trainings. I'm sure the students would love to have you, man. We run our trainings May through October. We do two a month, May through October.
Nice. We're going to have to do that.
Yes.
Derek, thank you. Yeah, I'll bring the team. We'll go up together.
I'll be there.
Awesome.
We're out.
Well, thank you so much for this interview, Derek. And all my love and blessings to all you people up in NorCal. And watch out for the atmospheric river.
Yeah. And we hope that the Colombian makes it through.
It's going to make it in, brother. Thanks for being on this episode of Gua.
Gua.
Thank you for joining us on this enlightening episode of Grow Weed at Home with Kyle Cushman. I hope you enjoyed our time with the remarkable Derek Gilman, delving into the captivating world of cannabis culture and the path to becoming a certified Ganja. We've explored the rich history of this extraordinary plant and how it has woven itself into the tapestry of our society. From its ancient roots to its modern-day relevance, cannabis continues to inspire and astound us in countless ways. Derek's insights into becoming Ganja certified have opened our minds to the possibilities of taking our knowledge and skills to new heights. As we strive for excellence in our cultivation practices, this certification serves as a badge of honor, a testament to our dedication and commitment to growing and appreciating cannabis in the most responsible and informed manner. I encourage each and every one of you to continue your journey of growth and exploration. Let's embrace the culture, expand our understanding, and cultivate not only bountiful harvests, but also a deep appreciation for the beauty and complexity of this remarkable plant. Remember, this show is about more than just growing weed at home. It's about fostering a community of passionate individuals united by our love for cannabis. Together, we can break down stigmas, advocate for responsible and equitable cannabis policies, and elevate the industry as a whole. I want to express my deepest gratitude to Derek Gilman for gracing us with his expertise, knowledge, and passion. Derek, thank you for shedding light on the path to becoming a ganjier and for your important work in educating and empowering cannabis enthusiasts worldwide. And of course, a special thank you to all of you, our dedicated viewers, for joining us week after week, for sharing your stories, and for being part of our ever-growing family. Your support means the world to us. Tune in next week to catch our good friend and fellow cannabis emissary, NFL legend Ricky Williams on the show. Until next time, my friends, stay curious, stay informed, and keep on growing. This has been Grow Weed at Home with Kyle Cushman, where we cultivate not just weed, but our minds, our communities, and a brighter future for all. Happy growing.